Thanks for joining us today on Power Walk. Today, Reverend Cannings brings us part three in the message series titled Standing on God's Promises. He picks up from yesterday in challenging us to consider Bathsheba's life and all the pain and shame that she bore, calling us to work through our pain and the injustices we might have to face in our lives. Here's Dr. Cannings now with the continuation of the message, From Pain to Promise. Let's listen.
Many women experience a tremendous abuse from relationships that they went into with a clear head, but it became abusive and it destroyed many things in their lives, like trust. Why would God let this happen to me? Even their relationship with God was damaged because these things took place. People made promises. When children came, they weren't there to take care of the kids. In some situations, it's abuse from family members that allow them to be abused and not have anyone fight for them in the family, or were too ashamed to say anything and carry that shame for years. How do you go from pain to experience the promises of God, to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to really experience the fruit of the Spirit with a sense of just freshness before God? How does a person move from physical abuse, sexual abuse? How does a person move from people who have such power over them that they continue to dominate them and they're fearful to even say that they want out because of the constant abuse that they're experiencing, both physical, mental, emotional? They've been beat down for so long, they don't have the strength to come out of it. But yet, they're trying to go to church. They're trying to put on that good face. They're trying to look like it's going to be all right. And I'm going to love God. I'm going to sing in the choir. I'm going to do this. And I believe that when I do all these things for God, it's going to all go away. But there's dark moments. Those moments show back up when somebody says something in an ugly way, or someone touched them in a certain way. That just pops right back up because the pain is still there. I can't think of a woman in the Bible that have gone through such pain and the person called Bathsheba. You know, Bathsheba experienced tremendous pain, as we talked about yesterday. You could dress this up, folks. I know we love David. We love all the accomplishments that David made. I'm one of David's fans. But what David did, you could dress it up. We could say it in nice, pretty ways, but that's rape. There's just no way about it. And then to say she's going to be his wife? I mean, what makes us think that because he says, you're going to be my wife, that she's just going, oh, wow, you know, this is wonderful. I get to marry the king and be a princess. There's never a time you find Bathsheba going, hey, I'm fell in love with David to be a man that just loved God. I fell in love in him, and I have such respect for him in spite of what he did to me starting out, because I saw that he repented of God. Psalm 51, we read. And therefore, you know, I can't help but just respond and surrender to his love and care and tenderness and security, his history for the nation. Don't ever find those words with Bathsheba. Some scholars believe that Proverbs 31 is Solomon's rendition of his mother when he looks at her life and sees the kind of person that she is. Bathsheba is now challenged because Adonijah wants to become king, which means he's going to wipe out Solomon and her. And so Nathan now runs to her and says, you got to do something here. You got to go before the king, because the king promised that he would give Solomon to be king. That's her redemption, because she never ran from the situation. She faced it believing in God. She didn't run from it. She didn't find the nearest, safest place. She went smack dab to the problem and dealt with the problem, believing God to rescue her. And God did rescue her. He gave her a great son and put her on the throne to share that throne with her son, Solomon. He rescued her because she stayed through the process and worked through the process. Didn't cloud it up, didn't hide it. Knew everything that took place. People knew what went on. Followed her husband out of the city when he left because of God's punishment for his sin. She did all of it. And now she stands before him, and she comes into his presence now because he promised this about her son. And I want you to see how she approached this. She focused on the future. Yes, the past took place. I can't repair it. Can't fix it. Can't go back and make a more beautiful rendition of what took place. But in the present, I've raised a good son. It's not like David was the best father ever. He was busy fighting wars and doing all, running a kingdom and building a Davidic city and all these different things, building a nation from a small little place to a great, powerful nation, most powerful nation in the world. That's what David built it to. But in the midst of that, he wasn't around to father his children the way he wanted to or needed to. So when you look at the characteristics you see in Solomon, that's mostly Bathsheba. When God gave her a son, she chose to be a mother. She didn't choose to let her abusive situation and all that happened to her extend that bitterness to her son. She did not do that. She raised her son for the glory of God and for all the purposes she saw that God had for her son. And when come time for her to face David, it wasn't about the past anymore. It was about what that focus means for the future. And I'm going to focus on that. This man is going to die. My son goes to live. My son has been promised this. I must stand here and protect him because I'm a stepmother to Adonijah. And Adonijah is going to come in here and try to kill both of us. I must stand in the gap for my son. And that's why she's there. We can't let the past control our present, because if it does, it erases our future. And we must stand in the present, focus on what God can do through us in the present. I don't know what you're dealing with today, but I know that God has given you a spiritual gift. Let's start there, because he says he's going to use that spiritual gift, not just to be an asset to the church and to the people that need him. It's also going to be an asset to us, and that is going to lead us to grow up in Christ powerfully, because it ignites the work of the Holy Spirit in us, and it triggers all of the efforts of the Trinity. I get that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 8, because he says that the Holy Spirit brings a spiritual gift under the direction of Jesus Christ, but Christ determines the ministries of the church because it's his body, and God determines the results. So the spiritual gift ignites the work of the Holy Spirit, ignites the work of Christ, ignites the work of God through us for the glory of God, which Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 through 16 says, builds us up and builds up others for the glory of God. So we got a spiritual gift. He chooses to make you a mother, chooses to make you a father. He chooses to bring you into it a talent to do a great job so you could go into the world and be salt and light by being committed to the will of God and what God has for us. That's exactly what Bathsheba did. You know, she chose to make me a mother. When I was with my husband Uriah, didn't become a mother, but he chose to make me a mother, and this is my redemption. He chose to make me a mother who's going to have a son who's a king. So I'm seeing the hand of God in this situation, despite the pain. Whatever God is doing that is excellent and before us, focus on those things. We live in a very negative world. Everybody wants to talk about what's negative. When things are negative, we're tuned into the news. Whatever is good. Whatever is good means whatever is advantageous, that blesses us, that moves things forward. Focus on that, because that's the activity of God. When you look at this verse in verse 28 of 1 Kings chapter 1, it says, the king David answered and said, call Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence, meaning she's right there next to him, and she stood before the king. Now, when she first came in, she bowed before the king. This time, she stood. In other words, you know what decision you have to make, and I'm standing here as your wife expecting you to do the right thing. She was purposeful. She's in the presence of the king who has the authority to do whatever he wants. He wants to kill you, you're dead. But she came. She's not going to let fear determine how she acts. That's courage. Courage is when the will of God is more important than my feelings. The will of God is more important than any kind of insecurities I may have. The will of God is what I surrender to, is what I'm focused on, and what I'm most committed to execute no matter the problems, the difficulties that I face ahead of me. That's courage in the Bible, is surrendering to the person who's already won the war and believing him in his time and in his ability that it will be accomplished. That's why the Bible calls us conquerors. That's why the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The Bible doesn't talk about losers. The Bible doesn't even have any armor in the back. The armor is all in the front, because for God, it's always forward. It's never going back. So she stood. No matter how simplistic that may seem, it is a resolve. When you look at it within the Hebrew text, it is a resolve within the manner in which she stood. It's decisive. It is focused. It is positioning herself as the one who now executes this agenda once David announces what's taking place. She's going to work with her son to see this through. Here is the person who abused her, and here's the woman who now stands blessed. You see, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 through verse 17, it talks about this. It says that even though we may go through all kinds of pains and difficulties and hardship, do it with a good conscience. Stand with a good conscience. Give an answer when it's required of us to give an answer. But when we are done and everything is done in a way that pleases God, God says, I will bless you. I will bless you because you only endured that trial, stayed under that pain, and functioned in that way because you kept trusting me. You kept putting the word of God to work. You kept doing what God instructed you to do. You kept believing that his word will come through. You kept serving him despite of it. You kept doing what God called you to do no matter what the pain. The Bible says, because you trusted me, I will restore you. I will bless you. I will keep you. Folks, that's the story of Job. That's the story of Daniel. That's the story of Joseph. That's the story of Jesus Christ, who was rejected. His family thought he was crazy, and he still kept doing, I must be about my father's business. You see, she stood. Simple as that may seem. This woman, after all of that took place in her life, totally no control to manage any of it, other than to just respond with a resolve to do what God says. She could now stand here. She doesn't stand here intimidated. She doesn't stand with any insecurities. No, she stood here with confidence that you made this promise when this boy was born, and you will keep it. Folks, because we wait on him, we're able to mount up like an eagle and soar. While Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, we can stand. That is the power of God. That is, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. That's when we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. It's when we wait on God, he renews our spirit. He mounts us up like an eagle, and we stand. Stay focused.
A powerful statement from Dr. Canning's. We cannot let the past control our present, or it will erase our future. For a copy of this series, please give us a call at 281-260-7402. Again, our number is 281-260-7402. And be sure to also visit us online to obtain any of Dr. Canning's books or CD series. Our web address is powerwalkministries.org.
We're so excited that you've listened today. I pray this program has been a blessing to you and prayfully to your family. If you'd like to continue to receive encouraging messages twice a month, go to our website and email us, or you can call 281-260-7402, 281-260-7402. Then let us know what your email address is. But you go to our website and you click on there. You could put in your email address, and we will be most happy to send you our bi-monthly devotionals. We've also prayed that you would consider praying for us and giving to this ministry so that we continue to serve the Lord God, not just where you are sitting listening to us, but around the world.
That's powerwalkministries.org. If you'd prefer to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 920517, Houston, Texas 77092. And as we leave you, remember, you can choose to trust and surrender your situation to God and seek him to help you through the process of working through the pain in your life, to live in his victory.